That's right. You know we're staying alive right over here at WCRS. And today, my very special guest is Prudence Taylor, the executive director over there at the Greenwood Library. They are now open, and they'd love for you to come see them. So how you doing today, Prudence?
I'm very well, Anne. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And how are things going over there at the library?
They're going well. They are. Things are a little slow. A lot of people don't realize that we are open.
Monday through Friday, 9 to 5:30.
That's right. We haven't added evenings or weekends yet, but we hope to be able to do that in the fall.
Well, that sounds good. I think probably a lot of people have questions of how do you keep everything clean at a library?
It isn't easy, but we have a dedicated staff. We use this Clorox light. It's not supposed to be Clorox because we are LEED certified, which means we're supposed to use green cleaners. But we have a cleaner that works very well, killing bacteria. And after every use, we wipe down the chairs, the keyboards, the computer mouses,
yes,
whatever. Anyway,
right.
That little
anything
thing
that
you put your hand
touched.
Up. Yes.
Yeah.
We've also are practicing social distancing. We have distances marked at public service desk. Our staff is working behind protective shields. Some people call them sneeze guards, but they cost too much to call them a sneeze guard.
Yeah, that's one business that has done very well, haven't they?
Oh, yes. And the face mask business.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, our staff is strongly encouraged to wear face masks. And then when they need to move out from behind a public service desk to help someone find something, they have a face shield.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the face mask protects other people, but the face shield protects them.
Good. Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you do for the books, though?
We wipe the books down as they come back in. In the morning, the books that have been in the book drop are wiped down with a cleaner before they're checked in. And then after that, they're put back out on the shelf. Then as people come in and return their books, they're asked to put them on a cart that we have in front of the circulation desk. And they're wiped down. They're taken to the back and wiped down before they're checked in, so that we're protecting people, not just the patrons who come into the library, but also the library staff.
That's terrific. That's a lot of extra work, though.
Well, but I'm just glad that we're open.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of libraries around the state that are offering curbside service, and that's all they're offering. We will take books out to someone's car for them if they are uncomfortable coming into the library. They just need to call us before they come, call us when they get there. And usually they have pulled up to the front, popped their trunk, and we can put the books in their trunk for them.
Wow. What service?
I know.
That's awesome.
But we're happy to do it because we want people to use the library. And as always, we've always wanted people to feel safe using the library.
But I guess people are not, what shall we say, hanging out at the library the way they were before?
Well, they really can't. We have moved most of our furniture away. We have it in storage. What we want is people to come in, get their books, use the computers, whatever they need to do, and then leave. This is one time we don't want people to hang around. It just isn't. We just feel like it isn't safe. This is the time of a pandemic.
Right.
I've been a librarian 45 years, almost. Well, over 44, but almost 45. And I have never been through anything like this. I've always worked in public libraries. We've always done all we can to welcome people in, to make them feel comfortable, to make them want to come in and stay. And now we can't.
But you do want people to come to the library.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Just coming and sitting down and perusing magazines and stuff like that.
You can't do that anymore. Yeah.
That's the way it is. Now, it's also affected the children's department.
Very strongly. Our children's summer program has always been a huge feature of the library. And this summer, we're not able to offer anything in person. So our story times, our puppet shows, our craft programs are being filmed and then shown on the library's Facebook page.
I think I've watched a couple of them. They are really well done. They've got graphics and stuff there. You're not just sitting there at a screen watching somebody read a book. I think you've done an excellent job.
Jessica Howard is the one we have to thank for that, because she feels very strongly that one can never have too many unicorns. Or dragons, or anything else.
Well, that's the one I happen to see, is the one about the unicorns.
Yes. But we have a very dedicated staff. Jody Gable, Drake Callow, Jody Dondero. Jody with an I is what we call her, but Jody Dondero. All three have worked very hard to develop these programs. Melissa Crenshaw, who is our branch manager in Ware Shoals, has also come in, and she does her story time as Lady Mel, and she may bring her dragon with her.
Ooh.
I know. Okay. Yes.
So, I mean, it's entertaining, and the kids can still do their summer reading program and get their points and everything, correct?
Yeah,
and you're giving away a Kindle or something at the
end? Yeah, you know, that is the child's Kindle.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's a Fire Tail. I cannot remember what it is.
But it's a good one.
It's a prize that your child actually wants. It's not something that we think is good for them. It's something they actually want.
Right.
And we're giving one at 96 at Ware Shoals, as well as at the Greenwood County Library. And
I saw something about get your secret question or something to get extra points or something like that.
That's in Ware Shoals. Melissa's doing that. And then they're also doing some other special things in Greenwood to make it more fun and to encourage people to go online. We still have people coming in and accessing the internet from the library's parking lot. And we encourage that, too. If you don't feel comfortable coming inside, that's fine.
Wi-Fi right there.
We have Wi-Fi right there, and it's a strong Wi-Fi, too.
So you could watch a video or something.
You can watch a video. You can go online and borrow books. We have a good collection, an especially strong collection of books, of e-books and audio books. We also have a good collection of popular magazines. You're not going to be able to do a report from them or anything like that, but if you are addicted to Southern Living, as I am...
Why not get it through the library?
And also, we have the Oprah magazine, and I love that because she's always talking about books. Do you know she has a library card from the Chicago Public Library?
Well, there you go.
I know.
I'm telling you. I actually had a library card from the Smithsonian.
Good for you, Ann.
I did, yes.
I hope you've got a library card from the Greenway County Library.
Most people still do.
We have more than 70% of our population of our county residents have and use a library card.
That's huge.
It is.
I mean, what would be the average? I think
30%.
30%?
30%.
40% additional from the Greenwood Library.
Yeah, I think it's because we have always been very fortunate in having the support of the county council. That's where most of our funding comes from. Mm-hmm. And thanks to them, we're able to offer staff and hours that are convenient. Well, we're not right now because it's just Monday through Friday, 9 to 5:30. But we've been able to be open in the evenings, and we hope to resume that in the fall. We've been able to open on the weekends, and we hope to resume that in the fall. But, of course, everything depends on what goes on with the pandemic.
Sure.
Everything is, that's been the hardest thing, is accepting that there are some things beyond my control. Not that I'm a controlling person.
I understand. And it's been really kind of scary with the uptick in the number of cases that there has been out there and how it has affected Greenwood.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think people need to wear their masks when they're out, when they're in a group, wear a mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face, you know, all those same things. We really need to be vigilant And I think if you're in the house with a group of people other than maybe just your family that you have been sharing your cooties with, you should wear a mask.
Yeah, our staff is very good about that in the workrooms, even though we're away from the desk or away from our patrons. We have our staff always wears a mask. And then we've got a couple of people who are not only wearing the mask, but who are also wearing the face shields.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just what you got to do, and you got to be safe out there, and you got to not risk your health or the health of somebody else. That's the thing right now. We need to get this thing, this COVID-19, tamped down. So we've got the good summer program for the children's library. What are you doing for the teens?
Well, they're encouraged to, we have a summer reading program, but the numbers are low right now. I was talking to our Tracy Utz, she's our assistant director, but she's also in charge of teen services, and the numbers are low so far. We normally have 100 kids a day coming in to the teen center. We're down to 25.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, it varies. I mean, sure. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's a few more, but we average out at 25. But we do have a good collection of books for teens as part of our digital library. We also have make and take paper bags. They can just come in, grab a bag, it's got all the craft materials, and they can take it home. But we're really limited. We can't show any films this summer because it isn't safe.
That's always been a big part of what you did. I mean, the kids would come and hang out in the teen center, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's been, we usually don't like people to lie on the floor, but last year I saw one child, and he would probably die if he knew I was calling him a child, but he was lying on the floor in front of a chair. He had his feet and legs in the seat of the chair and was holding his book up like this reading, but he was comfortable. Cool. So I didn't say anything.
But yeah, so that makes it kind of difficult. Now, what about are people able to use the Veterans Center again or not yet, or what are you doing?
The auditorium. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, they are. We are cleaning that down. That gets cleaned down once a day. We have a custodian, and Misty cleans it once a day. If it's a library program, we have very few of those, but staff will clean it. Whoever's doing the program in there will clean chairs before the program. And otherwise, if a group is meeting there, it's on that group to clean it, to wipe the chairs down.
But they can.
Yeah, they're plastic chairs.
Right. So
they can pretty much use anything they want.
And I guess you have the chairs spaced 6 feet apart and all that good stuff?
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
It's been quite a challenge, though, hasn't it, to adapt to all these things. And while you were closed, I remember talking to several of the people that worked at the library, and they said all you did was clean, clean, clean.
Yes. Yeah. We have over 100,000 items in the library, and we cleaned.
Are you serious?
Yeah. We cleaned almost every one of them using that that spray,
cleaner.
That stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. It comes in a huge jar.
And then you spray, put it in a smaller one. Well, you know, I think that's terrific, and I think that should make people feel comfortable about coming to the library because you are doing these things. The books are even getting sprayed. I mean, that's a big thing because if you go into the library, what are you thinking about? You're going to be looking at books, right?
Absolutely.
So if you have been thinking about going to the library but haven't ventured out, I hope what you've been hearing here today will make you feel more confident about going to the library. Now, do you require people to wear masks?
Absolutely not. Some libraries are requiring that, and they are offering masks at a low cost. But I really don't like charging
rules.
People. No. I'm a big believer in rules, especially
if
I'm the one who makes them.
You're a librarian. Of course you're a big believer in rules.
Especially if I'm the one who makes them. No, but I really don't like charging people for, you know, the opportunity to come in. I think we have to remember that a lot of people have been out of work, and we see the reports statewide and nationwide. I haven't seen it for Greenwood, but I would not want to tell someone they can't come in. I can't provide them. The library can't afford to provide them with a free mask. So we're not requiring people to wear a mask to come in.
But you recommend it.
Yes. Yes. But if somebody comes to the door and says, I don't have a mask, so, you know, please. Okay. And to be honest, we don't have enough staff to spare to stand at the door and police that and say you can't come in unless you're wearing a mask, or here's a mask that's only a dollar. Surely you have a dollar. And some people don't.
Right.
You know, so I would rather have staff available to check out, to help people find the materials that they need. I would rather have staff doing that, which is why you become a librarian, is because you like to help people.
Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you recommend wearing a mask, and but if the person didn't have one, they could still go to the library. Now, how about, or do you have your ancestry department open?
No.
No. Okay.
We have suspended, that was run by volunteers. We have suspended our volunteer program, so we are not offering. So the genealogy room is not open. However, however, let me say, everything in that room has been cataloged and is in the library's catalog. So people who want to do genealogical research can come into the library, tell the person at the reference desk, and another word for reference is information. It's on the second floor. Tell them what they want. And that person, that staff member, will go into the genealogy room, pull the books they want, and bring them out.
Okay. All right. So you they can still do.
Oh, yeah. You just can't go in there and sit around and browse. That's just, I'm sorry, that's just not going to happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
I understand. But the computers, I'm sure the computers are back being popular again.
Yeah. We have 38 computers. We have 19 of them. 18 or 19 of them in use. And the reason we've cut half of them is because for social distancing. And every time someone comes in and uses a computer and then leaves, we wipe down the chair, we wipe down the keyboard, we wipe down the computer mouse, and that little table area, counter area.
So that's for the next person. Yeah. So you can feel pretty assured. I mean, you can feel pretty comfortable.
We're doing all that we can.
We're doing
our best. Staff wears gloves when we're handling library cards, or with the protective shields, you can hold your card up to that. It's just plexiglass.
Right.
You can hold your card up to it, and we can hit it with our little laser thing.
Barcode scanner, yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
Big word, barcode scanner.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Now, hey, I understand that you got a nice grant.
We did. We got it back back in January. I really didn't expect to get it, but it's from the Yiddish Book Center, and they are trying to make people more aware of their existence, of their collection. It's one that was started back in the 1980s, and I cannot remember the guy's name, blanking out here. Senior moment, too bad. Anyway, this gentleman was working on his doctorate, his PhD, and he decided to do something with the Yiddish language.
Mm-hmm.
And so he contacted all of his parents' friends and asked them if they had books written in Yiddish. And he got thousands of books from people's attics. And some of
How
them...
How about that?
Yes, absolutely. So he established this collection, and several years ago they began translating them. So they have books by Isaac Bashevis Singer, by I.L. Peretz, Shalom Aleichem.
They sound like good Jewish people.
Yes, they are. But anyway, they developed a grant, and we got a small one. It's a small grant. It paid for 17 copies of three titles, Modal the Cantor's Son, Enemies, A Love Story by Isaac Bashevis Singer, and A Jewish Refugee in New York by Kadya Molodovsky. Oh, and Modal the Canterson is by Shalom Aleichem. And then we were able to pick a fourth book from a list that they had, and the one that I chose was How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accents by Julia Alvarez. And we just held the discussion for How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accent. Is everything all right?
Yeah, okay. Everything's good, yeah.
Okay, and our next discussion will be Enemies, A Love Story. That will be on Thursday, June 25th at 1 o'clock. Free copies of the book are available at the circulation desk. Mm-hmm. And if we have run out of those, we do have copies that you can check out.
So this is, it's Coming to America, right? Is that the name of the series?
Yes, all of these, the thing all these characters have in common is that they have come to America, and they've come for different reasons. The Garcia girls came to America because their father had been involved in a failed coup to get rid of Trujillo, who was the dictator of the Dominican Republic for, I think, around 30 years. They had to leave in 1960, and then he was assassinated by machine gun fire in 1961.
Wow, that was pretty close.
Yeah. But they had to get out. And then Enemies, A Love Story, is set after World War II, and one of the main characters in that was hidden. He did not escape Germany before the Holocaust, but he was hidden.
And he had three wives?
Well,
I mean, that's what I'm reading here.
Yeah, he married. He thought his first wife was dead. He thought she had been killed along with his children. And so he.
But lo and behold, she's alive?
Yeah, okay. A nice surprise. And then he marries the woman who hid him, who was Christian, but she hid him during the Holocaust. And so he married her, and they came to America. And then his third wife is not actually his wife. She's his girlfriend.
Uh-huh. And so there you go. The plot thickens.
Yes. But it's a very good book. It's very different. And that's one thing I've really appreciated about this, Grant, is I would never have read these books. The third book is called A Jewish...
And that's the one you're going to do on the 25th.
Yes, Enemies is the one we'll do June 25th at 1 o'clock.
Right.
And then the third book is Enemies, not Enemies, it's A Jewish Refugee in New York. And that's by Katya Molodovsky. And it's about a young woman who has escaped to New York, and the war is going on. It's set during the war, and her family is still over there. Her mother was killed in a bomb, during a bombing attack.
Wow.
But her father is still alive. Her brother and his family are still alive. But they're, anyway.
And it says, and a flirtatious relationship with an American, all right, Nick.
I'm going to have
reading
to,
it here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check the spelling on that.
Well, I just want, that's why I was pulling this up. So if you need any help, I'd be prepared. And I'm trying to help you, Bruce.
And I appreciate that. But she's a very attractive girl. She goes to live with her aunt in New York and her aunt's family in New York. And she is prettier than her cousin. And unfortunately, her cousin's fiance notices that she is prettier.
Oh!
So you can imagine the added stress here.
Yes.
And then the last book, Modal the Canterson, has been compared to Huckleberry Finn, because you're hearing the story from the viewpoint of a 9-year-old boy. And things that he finds funny are things that we might find tragic as adults, but the way Modal talks about them, it is funny. There is humor there. It is different.
That's cool. Now, that book review will be on Thursday, July 30th at 1 p.m. The Jewish Refugee in New York, the one with the three wives, get that one now, is July 9th at 1 p.m., right?
No, the one with the three wives is Enemies, A Love Story, and that's the one that's June 25th. Jewish Refugee in New York is the one in July, the first one in July.
Okay, yeah. I got it. Yes, the woman mm-hmm. that arrived. Okay, the one with the American, All Right, Nick.
Okay. All right, like I said, I'm going to check the spelling on that one.
Okay. All right, but anyways, that's kudos to you for getting that grant, particularly in, what shall we say, small town Greenwood, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I really didn't expect to get it, but then I never expect to get any of the grants that I've gotten, but we've been very fortunate. We've been very blessed, and I have really enjoyed working with this one in particular because it is so different from anything else we've ever done. When we did our first big read and we got a grant from the NEA to hold that, and we were able to buy copies of To Kill a Mockingbird. I love that because that was one of my favorite books up until I read Go Set a Watchman. But I wrote the grants.
You're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. So so you wrote these grants and you never really thought you would get them.
No.
That makes it even better, doesn't it? I mean, more special.
It does, but the other thing that happens is every time I write a grant and send it in, I'll come back into the library and say, well, I sent it off, but I don't think we're going to get it. And it's like my little mantra now, because when I say that, we get it.
Yeah, and how about ones that you think are a lock?
We don't get, or we don't get the full amount.
Yeah, right.
And that's happened a couple of times. We got... I had requested a $2,000 grant from the South Carolina Humanities Council, and they offered us $1,000, and I turned it down because with the federal money, and I know it sounds ridiculous, but with federal money, you have to keep such meticulous records that you have to start looking at staff time, and it just wasn't worth it. It was going to take so much time, so I thanked them, but you know, thank you, but no thank you.
Sure.
We'll just get along without it.
And I guess, this is great. So this is something you're leading a book discussion on these at 1 p.m.?
Yes, and we're doing it live, and I had really hesitated about doing this, but then I thought these are adults. It's a small group. Everyone understands social distancing. Everyone understands, everyone is encouraged to wear a mask, and at our first one, everyone wore a mask. I mean, I certainly wear one, so right. I can set the example, and I know how uncomfortable they are. I know that you sweat behind them and everything, but we're talking about maybe an hour, and it's an opportunity to socialize just a little bit, even though you're 6 feet apart.
You know, I would like to know how the lipstick business is doing. You know, I mean, you know, truthfully, people are wearing masks, so they're not wearing lipstick as much. You know, I just wonder how that's going. I don't wear that much lipstick anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me. But this is just an off the thought here.
Well, I don't know how well the lipstick business is doing, but I think eye makeup is doing very well.
People are wearing more eye makeup to make their eyes stand out.
Well, I have on absolutely no makeup right now because it comes off on the mask. But I went to get my hair cut last week, and AJ she's the lady who cuts my hair at Ulta, and she does an amazing job, even if you can't tell it right now because I didn't brush it before I came in. But anyway, her eyes looked great. That was all you could see above the mask.
Right.
And she said, well, eye makeup is all I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, well, just think about it. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, and so I also guess that at this point we're not being able to do any tutoring or anything.
No, we're not. That is a program that we are hoping to start back. But one thing that we found, not only were some of our tutors uncomfortable about coming in, our volunteers, our students were.
Really?
Yeah. They have young children, and not all of them, but many of them have young children, and they're either overwhelmed by having to do homeschooling.
Right.
Or even though school is supposed to be ended right now, some people are, some families are playing catch up. Their children are so small that they really don't understand personal space, let alone social distancing. So it's
a program that you hope maybe this fall, you think maybe?
I hope so. I really do. That is...
That's a huge part of your program.
Program. I mean, one of the reasons this library was established was to encourage literacy. and the reading of great literature. Now, what they called great literature back in 1901 is probably not what we call it today. But if you can read, you can do anything, whether it's change a tire, which is how I changed my first tire, was by reading the directions because I'd never done it before and hope I never have to do it again. Whether it's changing a tire or building a house, I know one of my teachers when I was in college built her own cabin and I asked her how she did it, and she did it because she could read, and she ordered this little log cabin kit.
Right.
She wanted to live off the grid. She was really nice, but a little bit different. But she wanted to live off the grid, and she built her cabin herself because she could read the directions, she could understand the directions and follow them. And she was willing to live a more basic lifestyle.
Yeah. And today, it's YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll just say, you know, it is what, yes. You know, a lot of things. But you're right. If you can't read, you are just out in left field in so many ways. And so,
well, I can remember when the internet first went into libraries, people were saying the libraries won't exist anymore, schools won't exist anymore, people won't need to know how to read anymore. Well, I'll tell you, you had to be on a sixth grade reading level then. Now, you need to be on an eighth grade reading level. If you're not on an eighth grade reading level as an adult, you are out of luck. Not only can you not read and understand directions for how to put things together or sum things together, you can't necessarily read and understand the directions on a medicine bottle.
That's true. That's true. So there certainly are a lot of advantages, and you've just done such an excellent job over there with the literacy program that you've had, the big reads. I mean, all the things that have been done at the library have been really top-notch, and I know that you worry over making it as good as it can be.
You are so sweet to say that. Thank
it's
you.
It's true. It's true. I know. I know you, so I know that it is, and I know it was tough not being able to have the book sales this year in April.
We rely on that a lot. Our friends are very supportive financially. They pay for all of the library's children's programs, not just in Greenwood, but also Weir Shoals and 96. And they purchased six sets, mostly in print, but they also purchased the digital set, too, for the Children's South Carolina Book Award nominees. And that's huge.
Wow. That is.
I mean, that's several hundred dollars right there.
So, that's put a hurt. Hopefully, maybe this fall we'll have a book sale.
No, that's been canceled.
It's been canceled too.
Mm-hmm. We are not able to accept donations at this time.
Oh my goodness! So people that have books, they just have to hold on to them.
That or find another place to give them. A lot of people have cleaned out closets and everything.
During this time at
all. Yeah, yes. During the quarantine. And I appreciate their good thoughts. I appreciate their thinking of the library. But it's a matter of space, and it's also a matter of hygiene. And I know that people are clean.
I
know that. It's not a matter of insulting anybody. It's just at this time, we cannot take on anything else.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, Prudence, now the hours at Weir Shoals and 96, what are the hours there?
Weir Shoals, they're open 9 to 12:30 and then 1:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday. 96 is on its regular hours. Oh, Gracie, that's you. I'm sorry, I felt something nudging my hip.
Gracie's in the room with us here, and she's not making any noise. Hallelujah. Okay.
But 96 is on its regular hours. Now, we have run into a problem if Melissa, the branch manager at Weir Shoals, or if Shannon, the branch manager at 96, have to be out. We cannot cover those hours, so those libraries are just closed.
During that time.
Yeah.
And then here in Greenwood, 9 to 5:30, Monday through Friday.
Yes.
So, plenty of opportunity to get to the library. And don't forget, you can use the Wi-Fi right out there at the library in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a computer whatever type of device that you have, you can use it right there.
Yeah, laptop or tablet.
Any of those, your phone, any of those will work to access the library. Make sure you visit the library, and if you don't have a library card, get a library card and use it from home. I mean, you can do so many things with your library card.
Absolutely, and you can also get a library card. You can apply online. And when you apply online, we'll go ahead and send you the number, the library card number, so that you can access our digital library. And then we'll put the card in the mail to you. But you can, usually it takes a day. So if you were to fill out the application tonight, you would get it tomorrow morning.
So excellent opportunity to use all their digital services and. Now, coming to the end in June, did I read on the website the My Tutor program?
Yeah, that is provided by the South Carolina State Library, and Tutor.com is coming to an end. But the other programs, Tumblr Math, and there's another one. I can't think what it is, what it's called. Another senior moment. But anyway, those will be available from the South Carolina State Library, I think, through the end of August, but I'm not sure about that.
So great help. And as you said the last time you were here, they actually make you do the work.
Yes.
They don't just give you the answers.
No, they will. The tutor.com, the tutors are live, and they will actually walk through the process with you. But if you say something like, can't you just do this for me and tell me the answer, you don't get that.
Because Prudence asked. That's how we know, folks.
Well, I was too embarrassed to tell them I was an adult.
All right. Well, anything else you'd like to tell us about the library there, Prudence?
No, but I really do appreciate this time, Ann. Greenwood is very fortunate in that we have a wonderful library. We've got great support for it, not only through the staff and the people who use it, but also from the county council, and that makes a huge difference.
It does, because they're there for you when you need something, and it makes a difference, and it's a beautiful library. So if you haven't been, or if you're new to the area, go check out our Greenwood Library. And if you don't want to go in, you can get your card online, and you'd be amazed at the things that are available right there from the website. Greenwood Library SC?
It's greenwoodcountylibrary.com. Just Google it, but make sure it's the Greenwood County Library in Greenwood, South Carolina. Because there's a Greenwood, Indiana, and there's a Greenwood, Mississippi, and there may be a Greenwood, North Carolina, but we get confused with the Greenwood, Indiana a lot.
Yeah. So make sure you check that out. Do you know there is a Greenwood, Mississippi, and I did a train ride where we were going around the country, and we were hooked in with Greenwood, Mississippi and Greenwood, South Carolina. It was pretty fun. Well, listen, Prudence, thanks for coming out today. I sure hope you have a good evening, and make sure you visit the Greenwood County Library right here in Greenwood, South Carolina.